I do love a good microphone. I hear, Jared, you tend to break microphones. Is that right? I'm going to try not to break your microphone. Thank you so much for having me. Like Jared said, my name's Carol. This is my friend Hannah, who's kindly brought me up here. She is amazing.
Yes, she is.
Yes, she is. Old friends here. It's really, really lovely to be here. And it's so funny, isn't it? You go somewhere to serve people, but I often feel like you just receive so much more than what you give. And I've loved hanging out with Perm and Nerm and these guys here and their family. You're such a beautiful family. I love seeing your healthy banter with your children. It's good. Healthy banter, just saying. I'm actually married as well to a good husband. He is a good husband, called Phil. We've got two teenagers. So we've got Lauren, who's 19, and Sam, who is nearly 18. Can you believe I've produced a 6'3" child? Isn't that amazing? Actually, both our kids are quite big. I'm officially the smallest member of the family. So parents, can I just warn you that the things that you say to your kids as they grow up, they come back to haunt you. So now every time we get in the car, I have to fight my corner to actually sit in the front, because as they were growing up, I used to tell them that little people sit in the back of the car because it's much safer for them, and I would encourage them to sit in their booster seat. So now every time we get in the car, my son's like, "Mum, it would be much safer if you sit in the back and sit on a booster seat." So can I just say, beware, just think about what comes out your mouth as you're raising your children. It comes back to haunt you. I actually work at the King's Arms Church now. I oversee our youth work and work with prayer and stuff. But I'm actually officially a qualified beauty therapist. So hairy legs, eyebrows that meet in the middle, that's what I do. I'm your woman. So I don't know why I'm telling you that. I haven't got many interesting facts to tell you. So there you go. There's one for free. So this afternoon, what I'm really wanting to talk about is being a people of prayer, encounter and breakthrough. And I know that this is on God's heart. There's something that God is doing globally, nationally and locally amongst the people of God in terms of prayer. And one of the things that Jesus said about his people, about his house, is my house will be a house of prayer for the nations. And when he was saying that, he was quoting from Isaiah, I think it's 56, where God says, "There will be joy in my house, my house of prayer for the nations." And actually, what God is looking for in his people is a joy-filled house of prayer that impacts the nations. And you know, you guys are good news for Bromsgrove and the surrounding towns and villages, because actually he has made your prayers very, very powerful. And I'm hoping that by the end of this afternoon, I've got you totally convinced and you will leave here knowing that you're made to change the world, and Bromsgrove better watch out by the time we leave. And you know, for me, I've become more and more convinced in the power of prayer. I know that God wants to raise up his children, his people, who know how to connect deeply to him, who know that actually their prayers are the things that are going to change things. I know that he wants to raise up his people that are believing for revival, that are believing for the miraculous, for the sick to be healed, the dead to be raised, the demons to be cast out. Has anyone seen a demon go flying recently? It's just not happening that much, is it? But I know that that is God's heart for his people, and where every situation becomes an opportunity. And you know, I'm so grateful for this. I'm so grateful that when we became Christians, we didn't sign up for a boring life, but we actually signed up for Mission Impossible with the God who can do the impossible. And that is our mission. And so I'm going to talk a little bit. Those of you that were there yesterday, just want to apologize. My first point is exactly the same point. I was going to try and disguise it and make it sound a little bit different, but it's the same point I started with yesterday. But it's all right, because I've got 3 points, so you'll really enjoy the rest of it. Just to tell you a little bit of my story, I was brought up in a family where nobody believed in God at all. The gospel that was preached in our house was that there was once a big bang, and from that came tadpoles that turned into monkeys, which turned into us lot. You're welcome. It's quite a compliment, I think. So that's what I was brought up to believe. But it's funny, because even though that was what I was taught, and I had heard nothing else from anyone, there was something inside me that just knew that there was someone out there. There was something out there. And I longed to know who it was or what it was. And at age four, it was Christmas Day, and I pulled my Christmas cracker, and out popped a little plastic baby Jesus. And I looked at this plastic baby Jesus, and I remember this feeling happened inside of me, and I thought to myself, I love Jesus, and I'm always going to love him. And much to my parents' embarrassment and humiliation, I got up on a chair. You can just imagine it, can't you? Four-year-old me. I got up on a chair and I declared to my whole family and aunties and uncles and cousins, I love Jesus and I'm always going to love him. Didn't know who he was. I knew he was born in a manger, but that's all I knew. But I started to pray. I started each night to look out at the stars and say, God, who are you? I want to know you. And I would pray every night, and I shared a room with my poor sister, and I thought that if there was a God, you probably had to pray out loud for him to hear you. So I would pray for about 20 minutes out loud for every pet that I had ever had. I prayed for my guinea pigs and my hamsters and my rabbits, all of them that had died. And by the time I was about 8 years old, I was praying for the dead to be raised. They were my dead rabbits that had died, but I just knew whoever he was, he went beyond the grave, but I still wanted to know him. And by the time I was 16, some Christians came into our school, and by that time, some pretty terrible things had happened in my life, and I was messed up, and I was angry, and I'd become part of a street gang, and we would... we would do everything that you don't want your teenagers doing. Let's just put it like that. But fighting was my big thing. We would often have fights and stuff. But some Christians came into my school and preached the gospel. And they told me about Jesus, that he loved me and that he died on the cross for me. And that I could know him and that I could be forgiven of everything that I'd ever done wrong. Like, it was truly, truly good news. And for you today, if you have never been to church, if you have never heard the gospel, this is the good news of Jesus. He loves you. He died so you can know him. He died so you can be forgiven and be with God for all eternity. And I heard this when I was 16 years old, but I actually, I humiliated them, I argued with these Christians, I made them feel stupid and look stupid. But little did they know, at the end of that week, I prayed a little prayer, and I kind of gave my life to Jesus. Wasn't really sure, but I kind of did. And then I carried on for a year, running away from God, until one night on a Saturday night, I was with my gang. We had just vandalized some toilets. My friend had actually taken an overdose, a heroin overdose. It was very scary. She had been rushed to hospital. And I remember looking around thinking, what am I doing with my life? There has got to be more to life than this. And I just didn't want to carry on the way that I was. And I got up and I walked away from my teenage gang, my friends. I went to the field that was just near us, got on my knees, and I looked up again at those same stars that I'd looked at as a little kid. And I remembered there was something about Jesus, something about a cross, that he loved me, that I could know him. And I prayed a short, easy, almost pathetic prayer and just said, God, please, if you are real, please will you help me have my life. That's all I can remember praying. And suddenly, the presence of God came on me so powerfully that it shook me to the core. And I can only describe the presence of God as it felt to me like electricity mixed with power, mixed with peace, all like wrapped up into one, just all over me. And I knew 100% that God was real and that he knew me and he loved me and that he had answered my prayers. And my whole first point that I want to talk about, actually, God showed me in the very first moments of me coming to know him that actually prayer is all about relationship. It is all about friendship. Actually, God never called you and me to a boring religion. He never called you and me to for prayer to be that thing that we have to do as a Christian at the beginning of the day or the end of the day. But he called us into a friendship. In John 17, verse 3 says this, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, who you have sent." And this is God's greatest gift to you and me, that we were made to know him. The end of the story is not just that we get to be forgiven of our sins, but you and I are reconciled to God. This gospel that I've just talked about, it now means that there is nothing that stands before you and the love of God. All that rubbish, all that junk, all that stuff that can go around your head sometimes telling you that you failed or you're a terrible person, all of it has been dealt with by Jesus. So that you can come into the presence of God every day, just as you are, whether you are a little kid, whether you're, you know, in your 90s, whether you're anywhere in between, doesn't matter on your class or your race or your history, how many qualifications you did or didn't get, it doesn't matter, because you are now free to come into the presence of God. There's nothing that separates you from his love. You are saved for friendship. And I really want to emphasize that to the young people. I'm guessing, I know you guys are young. I can see some, I mean, you're all young, you're all good looking. But, you know, I want you young people to know that you were never born again into a boring religion, but God has made you for friendship and you can know his presence. You know, it's interesting with the Pharisees. They knew how to pray very long and impressive prayers. If you put me up against a Pharisee right now, man, they would make me look like I just don't know how to pray. They had memorized the first however many books of the Bible. They would stand on the street corners with their robes, and man, they could impress you with their prayers. But you know what? When the very God that they were praying to was standing in front of them in the flesh, they couldn't even see him. They didn't even know it was him, because what they had failed to do was have a heart connection, a relationship with the God that they'd been praying for. Suddenly all those scriptures, all that memorized stuff, all that fasting, all those hours of praying, they had missed the heart of God. And God wants you to know his heart and to connect with his heart. And I just want to ask you how you're doing on this. How are you doing, really? Have you slipped into a bit of religious praying or going through the motions? Or are you genuinely encountering a person each day? Because that is what is on offer to us as his kids. Are you meeting with Jesus? Are you experiencing and encountering joy and peace? Are you hearing his voice, his small, still voice, as he speaks to you? Or maybe you hear him as a big, loud trumpet and get angelic visitations. If you do, could you pray for me at the end? That would be great. But genuinely, how are you doing? Is there life in your friendship with Jesus, or has it all grown rather dull? Don't worry whatever your answer is, because the good news is this: there's some promises for us. And James 4 verse 8 says this: draw near to God and he will draw near to you. That is one short sentence, but it is a mighty, mighty promise. This is him saying it to you right now, okay? Pretend you've never heard this ever before. James 4, verse 8. He says to you, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. If you seek him, he will be found by you. That's 2 Chronicles 15. And you know, for me, when I'm struggling to connect with Jesus, when I'm struggling to feel the presence of God, because sometimes I just get too busy, sometimes I've been lazy, sometimes I'm maybe going through a bit of a trauma, there's been times when I struggle to feel that connection and that relationship. And these are the things that I do, in case they help you just a little bit. I make time in my diary. I cancel some stuff, or I book some time in advance. I try and have time with Jesus every day, but if I'm struggling, I'll book out a Saturday morning or something. And I will remember these promises, and I will remind God of them, and I will say, Father, I am coming, believing your word. You have said that if I draw near to you, you will draw near to me. And then this is what I do. I worship him, and I thank him until I can see him again, until I can literally feel his presence. And I've got all sorts of different things I do. I sing songs, I pray through scriptures, I've got a list on my phone reminding me all the things about God that I just thank through. And I just want to encourage you, the Bible says that he dwells in the praises of his people. If you want to know more of the presence of God in your life, praise him, worship him, thank him. It says that we enter his gates with thanksgiving. We enter his courts with praise. That is our way in every time. Worship is like a sword for you. It's like a way of fighting for the presence of God in your life, because you were never made to be without the presence of God. And I would like to suggest to you that this is even more important if you are in a dark season or a difficult season. And I was sharing yesterday, one of the darkest seasons I've ever been through started, I mean, I don't know that I'm totally through it at all, but it started 3 years ago with a phone call from my brother telling me that my dad had taken his own life. And I'd seen him a few days before on Christmas Day, and as far as I knew, he didn't yet know Jesus. I'll try and remember to tell you the end of that story. I totally believe he's in heaven. God did some really beautiful things, but it threw me into trauma. It threw me into fear. I was surrounded by all these, this battle for my mind. I started to battle with my mental health. I was struggling for peace. I was struggling to know God was close. Each day I would get up and I would struggle to get up. I didn't even want to get up. And I made a decision because I knew how to live in the presence of God, but I was suddenly in a dark valley. And my decision was this, that I'm not even going to get up in the morning without thanking God for 20 things. Sometimes it was 50 things. I'm not even going to get out of bed until I can see him again, until I can feel his presence. And you know, sometimes if you'd been watching me, it might have started a little bit weak and a little bit pathetic. You know, if I was excited about sausages for dinner, that's what I would thank him for. But I would be thanking him for the pillow beneath my head and the fact that my heating was working because it was January. And I would just start to thank him for my friends that were caring for me and my family. And but then I would start to remember what God was like, and I would start to thank him that he was faithful, that he heard every one of my prayers for my dad, that he died on the cross for my dad, that actually Jesus' blood was enough for him, that God was good and nothing would change him, that my circumstances couldn't change him. I would thank him that he was the lamp to my path and the light that caused darkness to flee, and I would thank him that he was my hope and my rock. And do you know what? I would thank him and thank him and thank him until the presence of God would come and I could see him again. And I would wait for that moment until something happened in my heart. Do you know, sometimes it took a little while. But as in that season, I put that discipline in on purpose, something changed in me. So I'm not in that darkest of seasons right now. But do you know what? I learned something. Now each day when I want to know the presence of God, what do? I thank him. I worship him. When something happens, when I can't see him, when I can't see the way through, when something confuses me, I come again and I wield my sword of thanksgiving and worship. And this is a sword that God has given to you. And some of you need to get your sword out again. For some of you, it's got rusty. Some of you, you've never used it. It's okay. You still got it. It's there in the thing that swords go in, that I don't know what they're called, sheath or something. Yeah, thank you. Okay, it's in there. God's given it to you. And I want to encourage you, get out your sword, because you were made for the presence of God. You were made for encounter. The Bible describes the kingdom of God as righteousness, peace and joy. And I don't know if you've noticed it, but peace and joy need to be encountered and experienced. Peace isn't just a word that we go, thank you, I have peace, I have peace, I have peace, I have peace, I have peace. Oh, I feel terrible. Okay, peace is actually something that God comes as we worship him. He puts his peace into our hearts. He gives us his joy, even in the darkest season. And this is his inheritance for you, because you are his children. He said he doesn't leave you as orphans, but he gives to us his Holy Spirit. Isn't that kind of God? Isn't that good news that that's what you and I were made for? And would you just stand with me? I just want to pray just for a couple of minutes. And I want to pray for each one of us. I don't know what season you're in. I don't know what your prayer life feels like, or even if you have a prayer life at the moment. And, you know, I don't want you to feel bad about that. I think one of the things that the enemy does, and please hear this, one of the things the enemy does is he makes you feel so awful about your prayer life, he paralyzes you. Okay, I want you to chuck that off. Chuck off guilt. Chuck off shame. Chuck off trying to get the perfect prayer life. None of us are ever going to do it. Just be you. You enjoying Jesus and encountering his presence. Anyway, I'm talking still. I'm going to pray. Why don't you close your eyes or just connect with God? However you do that, feel free to lift your hands or close your eyes or do whatever you need to do. I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and then I'm going to pray for a few different things. Father, we want to thank you together that Jesus didn't die so that we can become one of many religions. Lord, we're so grateful that we were not born again into a list of rules and regulations, but into friendship with the living God. This is eternal life, yes, that we may know you. It started the moment we were born again. We entered into eternal life. We entered into friendship. Jesus, you are what is on offer to us. And we just want to come back and say, Lord, we throw off, we repent of any settling for religiousness or going through the motions or not even bothering to know you. We throw it off right now. And we say, we come back to that place and say, thank you, Jesus, for friendship. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that our inheritance is your presence. That is what you paid for, so we can receive it for free. Do you know, if you know that you've just settled for going through the motions or a bit of religion instead of this beautiful friendship, just start to repent right now. Just start to say, God, I'm so sorry. That's not how I want to live anymore. I turn around. I change my mind. I'm not settling anymore. Just start to tell him, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. And then if you feel able, just join me in, as I pray, just pray it in your heart. Father, I come back to that place of worshipping you until I see you. I come back to that place of fighting for your presence and then resting in your presence. I say, come again, Holy Spirit, fill my life, fill our lives, Holy Spirit. And I want to declare over every person in this room, I want to declare and prophesy a new season of friendship, a new season of encounter, a new season of peace and of joy and the presence of God. Those of you who have not heard the voice of God for a very long time, I call you back to that place. I speak to your spiritual ears and I say, open up in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And if you know that you are going through a dark season, if you feel able to, would you just lift your hands? I just want to quickly pray for those of you in a dark season. Thank you. Just keep your arms up. Just receive for a moment. I just want to release the grace of God over you. And I want to, just in the spirit, I want to polish off that sword for you. Put it back in your hand. That sword of the spirit. It's the word of God. Worship. Remembering who he is. The truth of who God is. The truth that he loves you. His eternal truth goes beyond what you feel. Whether you feel love, the truth is he loves you. Whether you feel his presence or not, the truth is he is right there with you.
Yes, that's right.
Thank him for it. Polish off your sword and I just release grace into your season right now. That you would come out of that dark valley having enjoyed a table that's been laid before you in the presence of your enemies. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Why don't you sit with me? Well, I'm not going to sit, actually. I'm just wondering if I haven't got time to do my second point. It's a shame, really, because it's really good. Shall I tell you what it is?
Yeah.
Shall I say what I'm not going to say? So the second reason to pray is that it changes us.
Yeah.
actually, when we come and be with Jesus, we are changed. And I don't know if you've, I can just feel myself starting to share my second point. I'll do it really quick. Okay. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but when you hang around with people full of faith, what happens to you? Your faith is stirred, isn't it? And when you hang out with negative, cynical people, what happens? You can come away, if you're not careful, a little bit more negative and a bit more cynical than when you arrived. And my point is this, that we are changed by being and not by doing. We are not changed by jumping through religious hoops, but we are changed by being with Jesus. And I love his invitation in John 15, where Jesus invites us, come and abide. Abide in me and I in you. And then he talks about us being a branch. We can't bear fruit by ourselves, but we bear fruit as we are with Jesus. And this fruit is a spirit-filled, Christ-filled life. And you can read in Galatians the fruit of the Spirit, of what we begin to look like when we spend time with Jesus. And actually, in verses 4 to 10 in John 15, Jesus uses this word abide 10 times. And it means to dwell, to remain, to continue in. And the reason is that he is emphasizing something. This is where you are made to live, in the presence of God, abiding with him. It's your home. And it's really interesting what happens to us when we spend time with God. So I don't know if anyone else in the room ever battles anxiety. I'll just be honest. Anxiety has been a big, big battle for me. It was a battle coming here. As lovely as you all are, and I can tell from your faces that you're lovely and you're friendly, I was scared. I always get scared to come and stand up the front and to have to try and preach and share what is on my heart. I get scared. I get anxious. I can get to the point of panic. Like panic attacks, genuinely. And what I've learned to do is be with my Prince of Peace. Because anyone can say anything really nice to me, but what I need is my Prince of Peace to give me peace, and that is what I do. And I come and I remember that he's always with me. I come and remember I'm his child, and I'm loved, and it's all about him anyway. It never is again about me. And I just want to encourage you, if you battle with anxiety, come and be with your Prince of Peace. I remember like years ago when it was about 10 years ago, so I was 20. No, I'm joking. I was about 33 or something, and Phil was diagnosed with a really serious heart condition. And I Googled this whole thing just before picking the kids up from school, which is really sensible. Just try that. Don't. And in Googling this whole thing, I suddenly realized, oh my goodness, I think that I could be a widow very, very soon. I was so scared. It didn't look good. And I mean, it's okay for you, because you all know now that that Phil's okay and he's alive. But at the time, it wasn't looking good. And you know what happens? Your mind gets filled with all these fears, all these possible scenarios. And I was seeing myself trying to raise our two kids without Phil there. And he's the really clever, wise one. So it wasn't looking good in my mind, you know. But I was scared, and this is what I knew. I knew that whatever was going to happen, I needed to know God was with me. Because as I prayed, God didn't tell me if it was going to be all right. Was he going to be healed? Was he not going to be healed? I heard nothing. And what I decided to do was, I'm going to get up every morning and I'm going to do the thing that I've just talked to you about. I'm going to worship until the presence of God comes. And I would worship for about an hour. I would sing and I would thank God. And he is so kind and so faithful. Every single time his peace would come, his presence would come, and I knew everything was going to be all right. And then one day we realized Phil had no symptoms and his condition had totally disappeared. It had a really long name. I would love to tell you what it was that he was healed from, but I couldn't pronounce it even at the time, and I certainly can't spell it. But God has totally healed him. But I got what I needed before that happened by being with my Prince of Peace. Anyone get moody, grumpy?
No.
Come on, hands up, everybody. Come on, thank you. At least 30% of the room get grumpy. Me and Phil have got this thing now. I hate it when he does this to me. Because you know when you're being grumpy, right? Well, I do. And then when Phil goes to me, why don't you just go and spend a bit of time with Jesus? Honestly, it makes me want to kind of... Obviously, I wouldn't ever want to punch him, really. But like, there's that thing in me. But what we've learned about one another It's that when we're just grumpy, actually when we spend a bit of time with Jesus, when we repent, when we worship, we come back totally different. So there's a little tip for you, like marriage or that, just, you know, come be with Jesus. Go be with Jesus. Let him sort you out. And again, I could go on, self-control, love, all those things. Being with Jesus changes us, and I'll tell you why. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, we are all being transformed into his image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is Spirit. 2 Peter 1, verse 3, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him. And I love this. This is Samuel talking to Saul in 1 Samuel 10. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will be changed into a different person. And later on it describes the moment and says, and God gave him a different heart. Does anyone need a different heart? Does anyone need to be transformed into a different person? Well, the good news for you is you don't need to jump through any hoops. You need to be with your Jesus who loves you and he loves changing us. Anyway, that was me not sharing my second point. So my third and final point is this, that prayer releases the power of God into situations. And like I said before, that is good news for Bromsgrove. That is good news for your workplace. That is good news for your family. That is good news for the impossible situation that is going on in your life. That is good news for those of you like me who has been diagnosed with a long-term sickness or you are in pain. The good news for you is that that isn't the end of the story, but that prayer makes a difference. That your prayers are powerful and effective, not because I'm telling you, but because the Word of God tells you. And I love the story of Hudson Taylor. I was talking about it this morning. So Hudson Taylor would walk the beach of Brighton and he would pray for China. At the time, there weren't many missionaries there. There wasn't much of Christianity happening at all. And God had given him this burden for China and he would pray, God, send missionaries, bring revival to China. And do you know what? He saw a little bit in his lifetime, but not very much. But what is it that we are seeing now, well, like in China? Probably the biggest revival that has ever happened. And I want to encourage some of you that have been praying for years and years for things. Actually, your very prayers, your prayers outlive you. Some of it you may see happen in your lifetime. I pray that you do. I want to see revival before I die, absolutely. But your prayers outlive you. And isn't that great? Isn't that good news? I want to tell you a few stories of just some of the breakthroughs that I've seen. And I tell you these stories. Please don't think that I'm great. I also have the rubbish prayer times. I have the prayer times when the ceiling isn't listening, even though it just feels like it's me and the ceiling in the room. I've fallen asleep in prayer times. I made my son cry once when I prayed. Like, I've done it all. I've prayed out of fear. I've prayed out of boredom. But I've also prayed prayers of great faith and seen God do great things. And what I love about prayer is that God is the one who is amazing. You and I don't have to be amazing. We can just be us. God can use a 2.5-inch woman and change the world with my prayers. I messed up most of my GCSEs. I've not got much education to my name. But do you know what? I am a world changer because God has made my prayers powerful. And that is true of you. So let me tell you a few stories. And one of the ladies, this one isn't about me at all, but one of the ladies in our church got a phone call from her friend who lived in America, and she was distraught because her son had been in a terrible road accident and was in hospital unconscious with severe brain damage, and it wasn't looking good. Basically, they were saying, it doesn't look good. There's not much that we can do. Anyway, so her and her life group, or her small groups, whatever you guys call them here, they decided they were going to gather and they were going to pray. So they prayed and prayed for this lad, that he would be healed, that God would come and do the impossible and do what the medics were saying couldn't happen. Anyway, within 3 days... 3 days, this lad, this teenage lad, he was sitting up, he was eating, he was breathing unaided, and he was able to speak. Amazing. But one thing was still wrong. He couldn't see. His eyes weren't working. So she shared this amazing news and was like, but there's one thing that's still wrong. He can't see. that part of his brain just hadn't been healed yet. And she's like, it's okay, we're on it. Because by then they had great faith. And again, they came together and they prayed for this lad. And they were like, see, in Jesus' name, declare, you know, praying all their best prayers, eyes be opened. The next day, both his eyes open. He is now totally fine. He can see, he can speak. He's got no, can't remember what the words are, but no like side effects from this accident that he had. How did that happen? One lady in this, our church with her friends understood that their prayers are powerful and they make a difference. Another story, sorry those of you who were there yesterday, but it's one of my favourite stories because it's about one of our teenagers. One of our teenagers works in a nursery. She's a nursery nurse. She was doing an apprenticeship, and she had a real heart for kids battling with autism or other extra needs and stuff. And they knew that, so they gave her this little lad. He was under two because he had all the symptoms of quite severe autism. And he was too young to be diagnosed, but he would come in and he would rock in the corner. He wouldn't interact with other children. He wouldn't speak, no eye contact. He would never sing, anything like that. And Lauren just felt in her heart, this is not God's heart for this little boy. And she just had that burden. And so she decided she was going to be like an undercover agent. She was going to pray over him every day. So she started to pray. She would pray the blessing of God. She would pray that he was able to connect, that he was able to have joy, to interact with others over and over again. And 2 months later, she said it all kind of, he started to get better and better, and there was a buzz in the nursery. Oh, have you noticed what has, you know, happened to this little kid? They couldn't quite believe it. And then one day, he'd been on holiday for a week. He came back to the nursery. He opened his arms, he looked at this teenage girl, and he shouted, Lauren! And he ran up, gave her a hug, and she knew it was done. This little kid was totally healed. He now sings all the songs. He plays with other children. His parents can't believe the difference. The nursery put it down to one of those really strange phenomenons, which probably the nursery is to thank for, you know, that kind of thing. Why did that happen? Because a teenager knew that her prayers are powerful and they make a difference. And she understood that God always wants to do good things for the person in front of them. Just a couple more stories. One of my friends was really, really struggling. She was going through a terrible time, and she was absolutely at the end of herself. And she was on the phone to me one evening, and she was just telling me about how much she was struggling. And it was quite late, but I said to Phil, come on, we need to pray for her before we go to bed. Like, she is at the end of herself, and she felt like she had no one to help her, and she lived quite a long way away. So we started to pray, and as we were praying, I could suddenly feel faith in my heart, and I had a picture in my mind that I started to pray for her. And I was just like, God, as she is in her bed, I pray that you will surround her bed with angels. And I pray that they would tip into her buckets of joy and buckets of peace and buckets of strength. And, you know, I prayed and prayed, and we carried on for a little bit, went to bed. Anyway, I got this phone call in the morning, and my friend said to me, you will not guess what happened to me last night. After I spoke to you, I went to bed and I had a vision. She'd never had a vision before. I've never had a vision. She's like, I had a vision, and as I was laying on my bed, angels stood around my bed, and they were holding buckets. And on the buckets were words written, and the first bucket said joy. And the angel tipped this bucket over me, and as he did, joy came and filled me up. And then the next one, it was peace, and it was strength. And she described what we had literally prayed for her that night. And then she said to me at the end, I feel totally different, and the presence of God was so strong in my room, it has actually singed the end of my nose. I was like, that was nothing to do with me, because I didn't pray for that. But isn't that amazing? Isn't that beautiful? God literally took a vision. He put it in my heart. That was what he wanted to do, and he released it through my prayers, miles and miles and miles away. when I was tired and all I wanted to do was go to bed. I didn't feel powerful or holy, but God took a prayer and he changed someone's life. And that is what he does with your prayers. That is what he does with my prayers. It's so beautiful. And we've all got stories, haven't you? I could tell you of the 50-year-old guy who came and spoke to me in March who had been praying for 52 years to be healed. He had eczema, but so bad that he was in and out of hospital because the infections would get so bad. He would have to have IV antibiotics, all that kind of stuff, for 52 years. And he had wanted to give up, but he knew that if he gave up, how could prayers be answered if he didn't pray them anymore? And so he kept going and he kept going. And then he was sitting in his car in March, just him and Jesus in his car, not even a particularly great car, he tells me. And he prayed and the Holy Spirit filled him up and all his eczema has gone. He's got a few scars to show what used to be there. He is healed. And do you know what I love about that story is he pressed in for 52 years. 52 years and that pain is all gone. And I want to encourage some of you that have been praying for a long, long time. Don't give up. Your next prayer could be the prayer that brings the breakthrough or sees the breakthrough. I've been praying for my own healing for 20 odd years. I'm not even sure. I've been in pain every single day for 43 years. I've wanted to give up a number of times, but how can I when my God is the one who answers prayers, and my next prayer could be the one that tips that bowl of incense, that brings that tipping point that I receive my healing. And I want to encourage you, pray and don't give up. This is what the Bible says about your prayers. I'm just going to throw a few of them out there. 1 John 5, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask him for anything according to his will, then he hears us. And we know that if he hears us, then we have the requests that we have asked of him. That is beautiful. That is amazing. This is how I know that my dad is in heaven. This is how I knew it before I discovered the diary that my dad had secretly kept, the atheist that was writing prayers to God. That is where God assured me that it was impossible for my dad not to be in heaven because I'd been praying according to his will for 24 years. And then as I believed him in faith, God showed me the evidence of the prayers where my dad had been crying out to him secretly. Isn't God kind? Some of you have been praying according to God's will for a long time. He hears every one of them. Be confident. John 14, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified. If you ask me for anything in my name, I will do it. Matthew 21, whatever you ask for in prayer, you'll receive it if you have faith. Romans 12, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Don't give up. Don't give up for Bromsgrove. Don't give up for your workplace. What do you want to see God do? Who are the people that most need God? What are the most impossible situations? Let's pray and change our own little world in front of us. I think I'm going to stop really soon so that we can pray. I'll try. And this one, Luke 11, again, I just want to emphasize this. You'll know this verse, a lot of you. I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. And if our English language translated that properly, it would actually say this: I tell you, ask and keep on asking because it will be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking. Again, it's that ongoing, don't give up. Don't give up. Your prayers are powerful. Do you know, if the word of God is true, which I like to think you believe it is, if the word of God is true, then your prayers are very powerful. They are very effective. They are going to change this world. They are going to change this town. If the word of God is true, you are literally a world changer. And I want to dare you to try it. I want to dare you to not give up. I want to dare you to throw off disappointment, to give it to God and say, I'm going to believe you again. I'm going to trust you again. I could be one prayer away from the breakthrough. I want to I want to challenge you young people. Are you praying for your schools? Are you praying for your friends? Are you believing God to do the impossible? If there's an impossible place, isn't it school? Isn't it college or university? But when you can see the darkness, how much more beautiful the light is when it shines in. You guys are world changers. Your prayers are powerful. Pray for your schools or your colleges. Was John Wesley right when he said, God does nothing on earth save in answer to believing prayer? Do you know, if that's true, I want to revolve my life around prayer rather than trying to slot a little bit of prayer into the rest of my life. And I want you to picture your prayers like this. I'm just going to finish with this. Picture your prayers like this. This is how I picture mine every time. It's like you are releasing a massive rocket launcher full of the kingdom of God, a rocket that always hits its target and lands exactly where it's meant to land. And as it lands, it explodes out the kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, joy, breakthrough, healing, salvation, light into darkness. That is what your prayers do every time. And you know, I pray that you see many answers, but I also pray that your prayers outlive you. I pray that your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren see the answers to your prayers that you pray. Because if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer that is made in that place. That's a good promise, isn't it? Why don't you stand with me? Can we have a little bit of something happening on the guitar? Thank you so much. Again, why don't you connect with God? Do whatever it is that helps you connect with him. And this is what I felt like we should do. In a minute, we're going to pray. We're going to pray for this town. You're going to pray for your workplace. You're going to pray again for your friends or your family, your school, wherever it is. Because actually God gives us the ground, doesn't he? He gives us the place where we live. This is your territory. This is where Jesus rules and reigns. And we're going to take it back for Jesus as we pray in a minute. But just before we do that, just as the music's playing, I'm going to pray and then I'm going to just lead you in a couple of things before we pray for Bromsgrove. Father, I want to thank you together with my brothers and sisters that you, in your sovereignty and in your power, somehow decided that you would work through the prayers of your children. That we get to co-labor with the living God. That we get to be your representatives. That as we pray, we get to release all that Jesus accomplished at the cross by his blood. That we get to stand with authority because of what Jesus has done. Jesus, we thank you together that your work of intercession at the cross empowers our prayers of intercession. And we want to be those that stand in the gap and intercede for those that we love and those that you love. And right now, if you know that you just need to repent again of prayerlessness, just start to repent. If you haven't been one that stands in the gap and fights for those you love, just tell him, just say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I haven't stood in the gap and fought for my workplace or for my family. I'm sorry that I haven't believed you for my town. Because when we confess our sin, he's faithful, he's just, he forgives us, it's done. In a moment, there's no room for the enemy to condemn you. There's no guilt for you. He forgives us. He knows we don't get it all right. His grace is enough. And Lord, we come again and we surrender our hearts. And we say, we want to be your people that humble ourselves and pray and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways. We thank you that when we do that, that you hear from heaven. and you forgive our sin and you heal our land. And together we want to pray for Bromsgrove. Why don't you just start to lift your voices? Just start to pray. God, come and break into Bromsgrove. Start to pray for your workplace. Start to say, God, come and heal this place. Heal this land. God, heal my neighbours. Break in. Show them that you're God. Just start to pray. Just go for it a little bit louder. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Break in. Break in. Ask him to pour out his Holy Spirit again. Ask him to give you faith for your workplace. If you don't know what to pray, pray in the Spirit. Keep going, keep going. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you for all you're going to do. Thank you that all you're going to do in this town, King Jesus. We thank you that your blood is enough for Bromsgrove. We thank you your blood is enough for our friends and our neighbours. I thank you that there is no one too lost, too broken, too sick, Jesus, to know your healing and your saving power. I thank you that there is no one too messed up. I thank you that you can save 16-year-olds in the middle of a field. Thank you that you can save anyone. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, you hear every one of our prayers. Just keep asking him. Just start to thank him for the things that he's going to do. Thank him that nothing is impossible for him. Maybe think of the least likely person in your mind to be saved. That was me. Think of that least likely person. Just start to pray for them. Start to declare over them, salvation is coming for you. We release the love of God over this town right now in Jesus' name. We release the love of God. If you pray in tongues, why don't you just lift your voice in tongues? Let's pray in the Spirit while the music's playing. Let the Holy Spirit pray through us. Don't worry if you don't speak in tongues. Just pray however you want to pray. We're going to keep going just a couple of minutes longer. You're doing really well. We declare over Bromsgrove that there is no hopeless situation. We thank you, Father, that we pray from a place of victory and we release the victory of the cross right now in Jesus' name. We say that there is a wave of love coming like Bromsgrove has never seen before. We declare there is a wave of salvation, a wave of grace, a wave of healing that is coming in the name of Jesus that will touch every school, every workplace, every college, every corner shop, every solicitors, every florist, every local shop. Every church, we pray for every church. We say, fill them up with your Holy Spirit. Make them a joy-filled house of prayer for the sake of the nations. And right now, I want to prophesy over this church, over Grace Church, that you will be a joy-filled house of prayer that will impact the nations of the world. That there will be ripple effects from your prayers that change this world. Because nothing is impossible with Jesus. Nothing is impossible. And as I've been praying for you guys this week, what I keep seeing is fires being lit in hearts. And it's a fire that sparks one another off, but it isn't a fire just for you. It's a fire that's going to impact this town. And right now, I want to pray, Father, would you release that fire of faith in hearts today? Thank you, God. It's like I see a feisty faith of even in the most unlikely of us, that's like, do you know what? I'm going to go for this. I've got one life. And I want to change the world. I want this world to look different by the time I die. I want to leave a legacy in prayer. I want to believe God at His word. I want to take Him at His word. However I feel, I want to believe that every one of my prayers is powerful. That when I declare the word of God, it cannot return to Him empty. I see a feisty faith being released, and I just release it right now in the name of Jesus. I just release a recommissioning over you in the name of Jesus. That this church is a world-changing church. You might not see it with your eyes yet, but see it with your spirit right now. Just partner with the prophetic. This is a world-changing church. And it's going to start with the little decisions. Setting the alarm clock a little bit earlier so you can pray. Just trusting God. Just not giving up. Praying again and again. So we say, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. We love you, Jesus. And everybody said, amen.